Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we have had a week that nobody in this world would believe. A small community like Benton Harbor, people who probably have the lowest IQ in the world. Wow, unbelievable. Unbelievable. We're number one, though, when it comes to corrupt police departments. We have Benton Township. We have Benton Harbor. And those of you who know Chief McGinnis, I don't know, we should stop calling him Chief McGinnis. Not only is he bad, he's horrible. The worst police chief in the whole wide world. Well, even the elected officials here, they're not the best. Fortunate, but they're not the best. All they're doing is picking up a paycheck. Solves no crimes, especially if it's murder or something, especially if it's robbery. Can't solve those crimes. But they will give you a ticket in a minute. Didn't cut the grass. And the whole city don't cut their grass. So how did that work? Paper all over the place. All everywhere. But they pick and choose who they might give a ticket to. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. But we have a major issue here, the water. The water has been bad for over 3 years. Matter of fact, it's been bad even before 2015. But they never talked about it. They tried to cover it up. Your friend, your mayor, Marcus Muhammad, he's a disgrace. And let me just talk to my Muslim brothers right now. I just want to talk to you guys. He's an embarrassment to the minister. This guy is ridiculous, and he will lie in a minute. He was on Yahoo something, some kind of thing, talking about of the water, and for the last 3 years, he's been saying the water was good. It's okay for the community to drink it. He even made the statement that nobody had died from the water. Then he come back that Benton Harbor is not the only city with bad water. What is he talking about? Is there anybody in this world who know a Muslim brother? Tell him to put this guy in line. This guy is horrible. He's horrible. A liar. And possibly a murderer. Matter of fact, the same charges that Snyder was brought up on, he should be brought up on. I wonder how he feel going to jail, trying to support Whirlpool Corporation. I wonder how he feels trying to support Whirlpool Corporation, because everything he do is for them. People was getting sick and dying. Do you know what lead do to the body? It destroys the body. Do you know what lead do to your kidneys, your liver, your brain? Will destroy the mind. Yet and still, this Muslim brother, and used to be my friend, I cut him loose. Me and him can never be friends again. Never. Because he can't be trusted. And I wouldn't trust him around Minister Farrakhan for any reason, because he do things for money. It's unfortunate that this guy is walking around telling people that the water is good, knowing that the water is not good, knowing that. Going around telling people that the water is good for more than 3 years and knowing that the water was bad. Benton Harbor water is worse than Flint, Michigan. That's right. Benton Harbor water is worse than Flint, Michigan. And this guy got on TV. Oh, let me say this. He got on the radio in Detroit, 9:10, 7 o'clock in the morning, and they whooped that butt on him. One girl called in and told him he was the worst mayor in the history of Benton Harbor. And he is. We thought Hightowers were bad. We thought them Yarboroughs were bad. But this guy is off the chain. And he thought he took a butt whooping from everybody. Callers from all over the state called in on his butt. And he, they, you know, they knew because everybody been through this. They understood. The other people may not understand. They let him get away with that stuff. Then he lied, telling them they was passing out water at the city. They had never passed out water at City Hall. Never. Liar, pants on fire. That's exactly what he was doing, lying to the people. They've been doing a study. Eagles ain't came in. When the Eagle came in, they did nothing for 3 years. Nothing stopped moving until we filed that petition with the Environmental Protection Agency, the federal government up in Washington, D.C. That got everything moving. That got people doing things they never done before. This guy had no knowledge. He don't even know what the petition is about because we never sent him a copy of it. Unbelievable. This guy walking around like he actually knows something and don't know nothing, making a fool out of himself in front of everybody. Well, I'm just talking to my Muslim brothers right now. You guys need to call this man and make him start standing up doing the right thing. Making him, first of all, start telling the truth. You see, he's a liar. That's what he is. Marcus Muhammad's a liar. That's what he is. A liar. He's an embarrassment to the Nation of Islam. He's an embarrassment to Minister Farrakhan. This guy is just that bad. And I love the minister. But it's unfortunate he got people like him. He got people like this guy that's actually lying and saying that he'll take care of the people, knowing that he will not. And it's unfortunate. See, when the minister was at my home when he told Marcus Muhammad to run for mayor, and everybody thought that he would be honest and take care of the people. You see, but sometimes you live in a community that people are satisfied with you doing nothing. And they hate people who are doing something. Oh, that's kind of weird. I know that you think that's weird. But in some black communities that I know of, that's how it operates. They love people who's not doing nothing. Long as you're doing nothing, you're part of they group. But when you start doing something, when you start saving people, then that's when the smoke comes. We're dealing with a world where we have to sit down and educate our brothers and sisters. I would say the people that lives in Benton Harbor has one of the lowest IQs probably in the nation. One thing they're good at is on Facebook or book face, whichever one you want to call it. I believe they have no idea And this is what Whirlpool know. He know that this is not a very smart community. He know the people here probably won't do anything, which they have never done in years. It's unfortunate that, you know, your children have to grow up this way, have to be miseducated, and you say nothing. Not a mumbling word. If somebody came in to help with the educational program, you will probably go after him some kind of way or her. That's the way this community has been. They haven't, and to me it seems like it's, since all the years I've been here, over 30-something years, it's always been that way. And that's why it's controlled by a corporation, you see, a greedy, blood-sucking corporation who got the mayor, every mayor that ever worked for the city and ever been elected for the city of Benton Harbor, Whirlpool got him. They can't make any decisions without Whirlpool. No. Here's something. I gave them a resolution to call for a state of emergency. It's simple, a resolution. It meant a lot because Danny would force the governor to do something. But for the governor, rather than have the governor do something, they'd rather that you do nothing. They'd rather for the people to suffer than to allow the governor to come in and do something. I had to force the governor, well, my group, I shouldn't say me, but the Benton Harbor Community Water Council, we had to force the governor's hand. Right now she's doing things only because we filed this petition with the EPA. And they're smart. They know that this is just the first step. If they don't get it right, we're coming at them again and again and again until they get it right. You don't, any time that you don't have the backing of the city elected officials, it makes it hard. But I went around them because I knew that they wouldn't do nothing. I gave them a test for that resolution. See, a resolution is just a resolution. It's just like if someone dies, you send a resolution out, which is basically nothing, but you send a resolution out, you know. It's nothing, you know. The city of Benton Harbor sends a resolution out to so-and-so, so-and-so, because of his death, which is basically meaningless. But what it does, they just doing something with their name on it. But with the resolution for a state of emergency, see, that would have made the governor have to do more than what she need to do. But they didn't want that. Because Whirlpool didn't want it. So we're living in a time where black folks need to get their head together. They need to get their head together because they are worthless piece of nothing right now here in Benton Harbor. The elected officials, it's not even worth, you know, me out campaigning for them no more. It's, you know, it's a waste of time because as soon as they get in there, they flip. They become properly a Whirlpool. So that's how that works. Wow, unbelievable. But this is the time that we're living in, you know. A simple resolution that they could not put on the floor and get passed. A simple. And people that you thought you trusted to do it didn't have the guts and the balls to do it. Wow, unbelievable, unbelievable. What a world we live in today. That's why we don't get nowhere. We keep putting these same black folks in office doing the same identical thing, and the same thing is happening. Unbelievable. But look, I got to move on. I just wanted the world to know. I want to thank all my listeners. I see we have a full house today. And, hey, listen, water is life. Lead will kill you. It will eat up the brain, the kidney, the liver, your bones. But yet and still, nobody really cares. Even black folks don't really care. You know, they use the term, oh, I don't drink the water, no way. but you brush your teeth with it. You cook with it. You bathe in it. Wow. That's enough. Let me bring in my good friend from Texas. And, wow, because I know that he got something that he want to talk about, and I am willing to let him talk. My good friend Jesse from sunny Texas, how you doing?
I'm still here by the grace of the Lord. Thank you, Reverend, for the opportunity. And thank you. I believe most parents are unaware that because of the lead on the water, the mercury in vaccines, and the microwave radiation at school, by the year 2025, we may have one out of two children with brain damage. Okay? Those parents don't have an idea. So let me just start with this. My name is Jesus Mendoza, and I have been homebound for more than 10 years with a life-threatening which is caused and aggravated by the same microwaves and radiation surveillance reaching children and teachers at school. Evidence on the record proves that my electrosensitivity was caused by a radiation surveillance in retaliation for denouncing how law school officials were committing fraud on millions of dollars of federal funds while giving law degrees to those affiliated to the FBI, to the CIA, and to other government agencies. After the law school officials did not engage the evidence of the retaliation, Michigan became the first in the country to criminalize a radiation aggression without to life without parole, House Bill 4513. More than 15 court cases and more than 20 years of litigation generated evidence proving how the mercenaries of the deep state, including the FBI, the CIA, NSA, have purchased, corrupted, and manipulated the courts to conceal that the microwave radiation school, that government-sponsored hate group bullying, and satellite-directed radiation surveillance are maiming and torturing to death children and other innocent, defenseless, and unsuspecting victims, and even in the privacy of their homes. Because the deep state has captured the executive and the courts, the only legal recourse for the people, it is to seek help from Congress. My emergency request to Congress to protect our children is posted on the case law section of J. Mendoza at wirelesswatchblog.org, wirelesswatchblog.org. The invitation is for parents to submit a copy of this document to their legislators. The emergency request to Congress details with evidence on the record the collusion of the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, with federal and state agents and prosecutors on the fraud on the courts to conceal that the microwave radiation school, that government-sponsored hate group bullying and directed radiation surveillance are maiming and torturing children and other innocent, defenseless, and unsuspecting victims, even in the privacy of their homes. As I said before, most parents are unaware that because of the lead on the water, the mercury in vaccines, and the microwave radiation in school, by the year 2025, we may have one out of two children with brain damage. Most parents have no idea that the microwaves and radiation surveillance in school can cause worse harm than the CIA's biological weapons. Most parents have no idea that after destroying our children's brains and bodies, they might be confined on concentration camps for the rest of their lives. For private and illicit enrichment, the feds are fabricating terrorism to justify the mental evaluation of school children by remote satellite directed radiation surveillance to determine which children exhibit brain damage and violent behavior for confinement and concentration camps. This is something that most parents don't even have a clue on this one. The question is whether, as God-loving, should we hate this evil Many of these mercenaries may not know that they are being used as part of a bigger plan to destroy the future of our children and the future of our country and our national security. Then we should be compassionate and pray that the Lord gives this evil wisdom and intelligence to realize that their atrocities are self-destructive. Again, the invitation is for parents to provide your legislators with a copy of this emergency request to Congress posted on the case law section of Jay Mendoza at wirelesswatchblog.org. Sharing this information can prevent immense pain and suffering and the lives of thousands, if not millions, of children's lives. Our children cannot defend themselves from this atrocity. And please, remember me on your prayers. I live in Cherryland, an area of my hometown, Mission, Texas, known to be a hotspot for hate groups. According to my professors, the descendants of those who in 1921 murdered more than 5,000 Mexicans to take their land away still live in this area and have incorporated themselves to federal and state agencies where they continue with their hatred agendas. Over the years, there have been death threats, an arson attempt, attempts to run over my children and myself, and even a drive-by shooting. However, I am in the best hands, and all my faith and confidence is on the Lord. I'll do my best, and I'm sure He'll do the rest. To the Lord, all the glory and the honor. Thank you, Reverend, for allowing me this opportunity.
Yeah. Hey, Jesse, did you say that they tried to run over your children?
Like twice or three times, sir. And on one time, even the postman, He called the police. He called the police, and they got the guy. But because they're doing this on the fabricated excuses on national security, they don't do anything. They tie the hands of the police, you know. Mm. As I explained.
It sounds like a hate group that's doing this too. That got y'all, you know, especially since I know Texas, there's a lot of Mexicans living there, and I would believe that there's hate groups that's trying to hurt the Mexicans.
Yes, no, this is horrible. This is horrible. I mean, when I was able to drive, you know, there were kids on jeeps with swastikas on the armbands, and they were yelling falsely that I was a child molester, a spy, a terrorist, and everything, you know. So this is a hot spot, like I said, you know. It is horrible what is happening here. The thing is that, you know, a lot of people don't realize that. Some of them have, you know, but they're trying to keep it under wraps because they are the ones coordinating the bullying, the government-sponsored hate group bullying. Many of them are retired CIA, FBI, and that's how they make their money, just organizing the bullying.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that is a amazing when you sit down. I can imagine how tough it is for not only for Mexicans, but blacks and everybody else, and especially on the border, because Texas has been known for racism, a matter of fact, since their history, you know. Even when they, you know, it was Pam Houston, the one, the Alamo and all this kind of stuff, you know, they, especially in Texas, they've been known to hate and they've been known to destroy and they have the nerve to be calling Indians savages and stuff like that, you know, and that is almost ridiculous, you know, but the point is we can't accept it.
My emergency request to Congress, it is a 50-page document detailing with specific, concrete, and undisputed evidence on the federal and state records, okay, what I'm explaining here. I'm not dealing with allegations. This is a specific, concrete, and undisputed evidence on the federal record.
Wow, that's huge, you know, and especially when you was in law school and everything, you kind of like understood they didn't want you to get a law degree.
The Lord makes things perfect because if I had received my law degree, you know, over the 15 years that I've been on the courts, I could not denounce the judge's corruption. Any attorney that actually raises his hand against a judge gets referral to the disciplinary, so they can so their license can be removed. On my case, mm-hmm. that is not the case. That is not the case. I filed like 15 motions to recuse with a specific, concrete, and undisputed evidence of how the judges engage in falsification of government records, perjury, and even retaliation and fraud on the court. And they did not even, not only did they not oppose or engage this evidence, mm-hmm. but on one case, they admitted it with their signature on two orders, federal orders. So the Lord has been so good, you know. Not my merit. I did not expect this to happen. He was the one that made all this thing. Now I'm offering this evidence for the parents to defend their kids and bring mm-hmm. this evidence to congressmen so they know that the executive and the courts have been captured by the deep state. We don't have anybody there to help us out.
Wow, that is something, Jesse. I love having you on my show and you telling it just like it is. And a lot of times people probably don't get it, but you know one thing, this stuff is real. You know, a lot of times, you know, especially if they don't see it, they don't believe it's happening. But Jesse, I tell you, I want you to stay safe. I want you to be careful out there. I know there's a lot of hate and hate groups all around, but we want you to know here on my show, we love you, Jesse, and we want you to continue to fight and don't give up. You hear?
Thank you very much for being an angel. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
But listen, I'm going to move on and do what we need to do. I got to bring in my next guest, Melinda Parker Brown, and listen. We're gonna make it happen, Jesse. And you stay in touch with me and let me know what's going on with you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
All right, Jesse. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, sir.
All right. That was my good friend from Texas. Lots of problems at the border. Hate, a lot of hate. A lot of other things, too. But let me see if Belinda Parker Brown available at this time. Belinda Parker Brown, are you there? Can you talk to me today?
Yes, Pastor Pinckney. I am really enjoying the show. Thank you so much for getting me in the queue for today because I really enjoyed Jesse. I would like to get his phone number so I can give him a call because he was talking about some really serious matters, Pastor Pinckney, and it's so crucial right now for us to be able to unite with what he's talking about to protect our children, save our children and our families that are suffering and being destroyed. So I really want to do everything I can to help and support him. I would like to get his phone number. I would like to reach out to him as soon as possible, because we're going to be organizing and mobilizing people to go before Congress. You know, we're calling here in Louisiana, we're calling for a meeting with the Biden administration because mm-hmm. of the serious crimes that are happening here in the state of Louisiana, and the politicians are covering it up. And when it comes to protecting our children from sex trafficking, abuse, and by high-ranking officials, I'm talking about, you know, governors, mayors, you know, from the governor's office on down, Pastor Pinckney. You know, this is some serious stuff that's going on that, you know, that's being covered up by our leadership, you know, in the governor's, you know, administration because of the of the high-ranking officials that's involved with these crimes.
Yes, 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 and I believe me, I understand exactly what you know what you're saying. And you know, Louisiana is really, really a hot spot right now. But it should have been a hot spot not just now, but 10, 15, 20 years ago. Louisiana have always been
over
a hot
120
spot.
Years, Pastor Pinckney. You're absolutely right. You know, mm-hmm. We're ground zero for this for these corruptions and these crimes that are being, you know, put up on the people here in Louisiana. And you've been here, and you've seen it for yourself, Pastor Pinckney. You see where people are being held hostage in the prisons, you know, these godforsaken hellhole prisons and jails across this state. You know, people are being kidnapped, and they're using the legal system, you know, to weaponize the people, manufacture, and just, you know, deliberately do whatever they want to do, and then look the people in the face after they done violated our Constitution, our civil rights, and say, what the hell you going to do about it?
Absolutely. And you're right. You said, for most of the time, that, you know, we don't really have enough people to stand up, you know, until something happened to them. When something happened to them, then they want you to drop everything you're doing and help them. And it don't work like that. You know, if your neighbor is in trouble, then you in trouble. You know, that's how you look at it. And this court system all over the country is like this. This is a bad situation. I could talk about Barron County all, you know, until I get blue in the face, you know, but people just don't get it. This corruption is real, and they've been using the same formula all over the country to destroy us. And it's sad. But look, you know, we got this major water crisis here, Belinda. I mean, when I said major, I mean major. And your mayor been for more than 3 years been telling the people that the water was good to drink, knowing that the water was not good to drink. And what I'm doing now, I'm calling out all the Muslim brothers all over the nation to stand up and call this guy out, you know, because what he's doing, he's embarrassing them, you know. It's ugly. Then he got on. He was on TV and lagged, not knowing what to do. But he was on the radio in Detroit, and they whooped that butt on him. That man was in tears when they got through with him, because they knew he was lying, you know. And one girl got on there and told him he was the worst mayor in the history of Benton Harbor. She said there has never been another mayor as bad as you and dishonest as you. You worse than the Yarboroughs. That's what she said. You know, and that's
wow.
Terrible.
That's terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
That is terrible.
And you know,
because
you know all this.
And you know, when you say that he wants to, you know, get a name for himself, and he bringing shame to the whole nation of Islam by him being a fake and a phony and a slick willy, okay, because you know what he wants, Pastor Pinckney. You know, I tried to tell you, you know, you was the only one that
got to confess.
But
I got to confess.
Going over there,
you
loud and 100% clear on
right.
Right now.
Yeah, huh? What you say?
Pastor Pinckney. You know, you got a powerful show. The Pinckney Show is a powerful show. Your show is so powerful. If he's been exposed on your show, it's no hope for him now. You know, it's no hope for him. And he needs to, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, he needs to step down and resign, because there's no way that he's going to win the people over ever again to vote for him. You know, and but you already know those votes are rigged there in Benton Harbor. You know,
right,
they rigged
absolutely.
The vote up and swing the vote ever which way they want it to go. You know, that you know they ball the votes up and throw them in the trash and everything else there. The whole voting process needs to be just overall.
Absolutely. You know, Kim Thompson is resigning. We think that they're getting close to finding out that she stole the election last time, and that's why she's running. I don't know. I'm just saying this. I don't have any evidence to support the reason why she's resigning. But she had a soft cushion job, and she really don't do nothing. And yet and still, they're paying her a pretty good salary. And she decides she's just gonna get up and resign. That's hard for me to believe. There's got to be something more to that.
Well, you know, Pastor
Pinckney,
that's been happening so many times before, where those people, you know, they get caught. And they try to run, you know, but I'm going to tell you, if you didn't expose them on your show, the Pinckney Show, one of the most powerful and progressive talk shows that's in America right now, because the, you know, last week, couple weeks, I was on your show and I exposed these high-ranking officials that was going around, you know, raping young kids. And one of them just got arrested a couple of days ago, Pastor Pinckney, because on your show I called for them to lock these people up. There's no way that they should be still running loose on these serious allegations that they have been raping and sex trafficking a child since she was 5 years old. So I just wanted to give that good news. And then also, you remember when I came on the show and I talked about the in the murder of Ronald Green, where they beat this man to death on camera for the whole world to see. And they just arrested an officer, you know, they arrested the officer, one of the officers, and we're looking for some more indictments and arrests to come down here any day now, Pastor Pinckney. So that's thanks to me being able to expose that information on your show, because I'm telling you that they're listening out there. And it's no way that they're, you know, just like with Marcus Muhammad, you know, if you didn't expose him on your show, it's no hope for him. He might as well go hang his hat right now and step down and resign, because the truth has been known to the whole world on the Pinckney Show.
And you know what? I'm so glad you said that.
He's a liar, you know what? A cheater, a thief, and he can't be trusted.
It's okay, and but you know what? I want, you know, there was a few Muslim brothers trying to defend them, but they don't do it now because they know the truth. But I want the whole nation of Islam to step up and call this man out. Call him up with his lying butt. He's a liar, and
and a thief, that he can't be trusted. Now,
that's
he done stole. He done stole the people's trust. That's what he did. He stole the people's trust because he was a fake from the very beginning, and he has been exposed on the that he cannot be trusted.
Amen. Look, when he was up, he was on the radio show.
Gonna lie to the people about that poison water. He know that water poison.
Yeah,
that old ratty house he used to live in across the street from the high school.
Yeah. Now he got another ragged house, you know, that he's renting. He's pitiful, and it's unfortunate. But
right.
I'm asking the nation of Islam.
He's gonna put his wife and kids up in that ragged house with the roof falling in, and you know, only two rooms to a whole house, and got the kids, you know, up in there in that ragged condemned. Dilapidated house across the street from the high school.
Yeah, you know it, and you know it again. But you know, we just have to keep moving, though. You know, we can no longer allow these people to do what they do, and then accept them back as friends. You know, because you know, there is no friendship.
You know,
between.
That was Pastor Pinckney. That was very disturbing to me that he would let his family live up in that ragged house across the street from the high school. He'll come to work at the high school every day like he didn't step out the Ebony magazine.
Yeah, his shoes shining, got a suit and tie on, the whole work, and always carry
right.
the book, but never read the book. You see, you can tell he don't read the book. He just carry them. It looks like he be carrying 4 or 5 books at a time. You know, like I said, maybe he's doing it for exercise.
No, because he was a fake. He always wanted to try to, you know, mess with them people's minds, because he had a delicate mind. His mind was so soft. He ain't read no books.
No, he ain't read no books. You know. And nobody read a book to him either. So it amazed me, you know, how people let him get away with stuff, man. It's unbelievable, you know. And look, I wrote up a resolution for them to call for a state of emergency, right? So it's just a resolution, you know, but it meant a lot. You know, once it got to the governor office, down here don't mean nothing. It's just like when somebody die, you do a resolution for them. It's the same formula. these idiots, and they are idiots.
Mm.
They couldn't even find a way to put it on the floor. And I said this to myself, never again will I go out and try to help them, because you can't help people who refuse to self-help. You know, they don't want the people to be whole. They don't want the people to be okay. They want the people to stay dumb just like they are now. As long as they dumb and stupid.
And that is because, Pastor Pickney, they're benefiting from keeping people in that state and condition in the first place. You know, that is their whole thing. You know how you got people that are sitting back, you know, they want to write a grant on this and write a grant on that. But, see, they need the statistics. They need that research and that data in order for them to can go after these hundreds and thousands, if not millions of dollars for grant money, so that, you know, they can basically run off in the sun, in the moonlight or whatever, and, you know, do whatever they want to do, because they're not going to do nothing they said they was going to do with the grant money in the first place, because they got the people dumbed down so bad until they don't even know they're supposed to be getting help.
Yeah, and this guy Marcus, Cornerstone Alliance, which you know who they are, they went to the Brownfield, and the Brownfield, you know, by Cornerstone being white, Brownfield gave him $80,000 to tear down this building, and they decided they weren't going to tear down the building, so they asked for the money back, and they told them right to their face that they weren't giving them nothing back. You ain't getting nothing from us, and don't ask no more. Then the mayor came out talking about, he was lying, saying that they had paid the money back. And then they came back behind him and told him, we ain't paid nothing back, and we ain't paying them nothing. And nothing, and see, but this is what black
ain't
people don't
know. Nothing he can do about it.
Hear what you do. You sue his butt. Put them suckers up in court. That's how you deal with them. And don't just sue them for the 80. Ask for $100,000 for the headaches that they have caused. But they're not used to black people acting that way. That's why I filed that petition. When you file a petition against something, against the state and federal government, they have to answer. You see, this is what black folks don't know. They have to answer. Ain't no such thing as trying to spin you. When you know how they try to spin you around. That petition that I filed is so powerful. It's gonna shook up this whole state. They trying to get us bottled waters and everything now. You know, but the thing is, we have to make them do it. If we don't, then we're gonna be in trouble. But listen, you got 2 minutes to tell us what you need. I gotta move on. But talk to me. Tell me something good.
Well, Pastor Pickney, the good news is that, you know, I'm so excited and about the great work that you're doing there in Benton Harbor, Michigan. I know you gave a shout out to everybody that had donated, you know, so that you guys can keep the water coming for the people. I have already signed up, and I'm, you know, be looking for my donation, because I want to do everything in my power to help and support the great work that you're doing there in Benton Harbor, Michigan, Pastor Pickney. And your name is ringing like a bell across this country. And, you know, it's so sad, like I said, that people don't realize what they had until it's gone. But I really want you to know how much I appreciate you here, and I appreciate your support. You know, the opportunity to come on your show and talk about what's happening here in Louisiana, that means a lot to me, because the whole world needs to know how bad we are suffering here in Louisiana. You know, Katrina, you know, we're still in dealing with the aftermath of Katrina. We're still dealing with the recovery from Katrina. Now we got Hurricane Ida. And it's nothing nice, Pastor Pickney. It's nothing nice at all, because right now people are suffering. The mayor, everybody is scrambling and fighting on how the insurance companies, on how they're going to get out of being able to bring some type of relief to people that lost everything. You know, we're fighting that fight. You know, a lot of our communities and parishes have been devastated by this storm. And, you know, it's billions of dollars, and don't nobody know where the money is at and how the people are going to get some type of relief to get back into their homes. And it's really sad, Pastor Pickney. So thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to speak today and let the world know about what's going on here in Louisiana.
Listen, take care of yourself. Let's talk soon. God bless you, and hang in there, girl. All right, then.
All right.
And now let me, all right now. It's going down. That's
Bye-bye.
All I can tell you. Okay. Talk to you soon. Amen. That was my good friend Belinda Parker Brown. And listen, I got to bring in the one and only from Detroit, Oak Park. I don't know where, like, I don't know what title she goes on, but that you know, this girl can keep it moving. And she's my very, very good friend. I love her to death. And I'm going to let her tell her story. Marcina Cole, talk to me. Tell me what's going on.
Marcina, you know, the first thing I have to mention about what's going on, not only just in the state of Michigan, but across the country and the world, and it's affecting our livelihood. And that's COVID-19. And I just want to just give statistics real quick. But in the state of Michigan, over 1 million cases in the state of Michigan and over 22,000 deaths. It's still here in spite of what the CDC ruling back in March of 21, that it was okay to go to various outdoor activities, indoor activities without a mask if you've been fully vaccinated. So we know where there has been an increase across the country and dealing with the COVID variants also. So people are still getting COVID, not just Michigan, all over the country and the world. Worldwide, it's 233 million corona virus cases and over 4 million recoveries. So we're dealing with recoveries, 209 million recoveries. And then we have the deaths, over 4 million. And so we, in the United States, it's 43 million cases, 680,000. And this all started when Trump was in office. And he ignored about what went on across the world with his COVID cases. And that's why we're still dealing with it and the dismantling of what's going on in our lives. We've got 30 to 40 million people across the country because the Supreme Court ruled that we're going to end the eviction moratorium. So it's affecting most the majority of the people of color. Indigenous people, brown people, poor folks being put out in the streets. In the state of Michigan, MISTA gets millions of dollars, federal funds, supposedly available to help tenants that's facing, you know, a crisis of being evicted, losing their homes. But that's not the case, particularly in my daughter's case and others similar to my daughter. My daughter, Section 8 voucher was taken away from her. My daughter is homeless, been put in the streets because of a place where she lived in Sterling Heights. There's management up in there. I don't know if they've done it deliberately. But her apartment caught a fire. It's been just completely destroyed. And the only thing that the management over there at the Northview Apartments of Sterling Heights did was house her for 2 days. 2 freaking days. Red Cross stated that they don't, you know, place, you know, help with housing, anything. They gave her a card. She needed something. But she, you know, something from the store or whatever. But she used that to pay the rest of the week. I donated money. So she had to be, she had to leave the hotel place, temporary stay somewhere. And it's unfortunately, that's not conducive for her right now. While she's still homeless and Mr. refused to do anything. They said they was not going to, you know, reinstate her voucher. And, you know, I've heard from other people, and this was Mr. Dunn. And the Governor Whitmer, I don't know what she thinks about what's going on with the people out here, the rise of evictions because of the Supreme Court ruling. And saying that they're not, you know, they're not going by what CDC said because of the pandemic, you know, to basically have a moratorium for the folks to stay in their homes. but it's not happening, and so many people affected, not just Detroit, all over the country. And these legislative politicians out here could care less. As long as their family's okay, then they're fine. And it's, you know, so, you know, dealing with that, with the COVID-19, and there's just so much going on where there's not adequate housing for people here in the state of Michigan. You got the kids started school. There's been a war about them wearing masks. Some of the politicians don't want them to wear masks going to school so that the children aren't being protected. So we can go on and on what's going on in this country and in the United States and across the world. We're still dealing with a pandemic, and I don't know why folks are walking around without doggone masks around here. You know, we got this Cori Bush. She's a representative in Missouri, and she introduced a bill, the Keeping Renters Safe Act, and that's for the entire country to give the Department of Health and Human Services overseer over the CDC and be having a permanent authority to implement eviction moratorium. I don't know whether that's going to pass or anything, but because it's more people of color, Black folks affected more than anything, with unemployment being wiped away. The government started that. You know, they're unemployed, don't have unemployment benefits, now being forced to be evicted from their homes. This is terrible hardship for everybody. Because if you don't have money, then the economy is plummeting. You don't have money to spend. And you got all these nonprofit organizations, and I'm like, where are these nonprofit organizations? They get millions of dollars, but it's not shared by the people who need it the most. And you know, and what's going on with the children in the school? Nobody cares, you know, about our lives. When it comes down to environmental issues, when you talk about the water, the poison of the water, the poison of the food, the air that we breathe, it's a fight that continues amongst us. And we're not alone, Reverend Pinkney. We're not alone.
Sure.
You know, so
absolutely.
We civil rights movement back in the 50s and 60s, and we dealt with inequality, racial disparity. And here we're in the 21st century still dealing with it, a housing crisis, dealing with white supremacy, dealing with the haves and have-nots. So we're in the same predicament in Jim Crow. So, you know, we're in the same predicament the people were back in the 50s and the 60s. Now we're over here, 2021, still fighting for survival, you know.
Yeah.
And what's going on with these people, with back to the housing, what's going on with so many of us is the fact it's affecting them physically. When I said reclaim your right to help, it's hard to, you know, to reclaim help when you have all these obstacles. I mean, you know, you can't even think clear. You got mental anguish going on, depression, diabetes, hypertension, heart issues, all that and above. And this all comes from dealing with the systemic racism in this government, in this country, you know, and dealing with the crime, the escalation of crime, all that and above. And it surrounds, and it's even worse because of the pandemic. You know, so we always fight, Reverend Pinkney. You know, it's never no end to fight for our rights. We're human beings, but we're not treated as such. You know, so we can go on with the court system. The court system, you know, got a flood of evictions coming from the landlords. And, you know, trust me, this is affecting these people, these tenants, you know, affected them, you know, health-wise. And I feel for anybody that's suffering. And my daughter, I thank God, you know, her and her family is still here because of the carbon monoxide was detected when the fire department arrived at that apartment. It's something very suspicious going on with that landlord. She wants to force the fire marshal to let her insurance people to come in there. They said they're not finished with their investigation. She wants the Bogart up in there. I don't know if she's trying to suppress some information or what, because it was the furnace, it was the wires in the wall, and it affected another tenant. I don't know what happened to that tenant. She disappeared. She was not black. And I was real curious about what they did for her. But I know it was their civic duty to put my daughter in a place to stay more than just 2 days, because responsibility to maintain the apartment complex, be safe for the tenants, you know. So I did contact the, well, I don't know if they received it, but through email, the corporate office out of state. They got apartments all over the place. They're super rich. They don't know nothing about what poor folks go through. They care less, particularly the
don't
color.
Have a clue.
So, you know, I just wanted to touch on that. You know, the fight continues for her rights. Everybody should have a right for decent housing, you know, adequate housing. Nobody should be put in the streets. You got these people, these politicians, these rich folks is making billions of dollars of our suffering from the COVID-19. They making big money. They always have, even with the pharmaceutical companies, with the vaccine. We can go on and on and on. So you think they care about the least of us?
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. But this is one of the things I want your daughter, make sure that she looks for a lawyer to handle that situation, that fire, because we got to hold that complex accountable for their actions. Even if it's, they can't say it's definitely when your daughter fault, but it most likely was the complex. That's who should be responsible for this.
Well, we all know that, that's what it's from.
Absolutely.
I'm definitely going to find out about that. Yeah.
Don't sit on it.
No, of course not. We won't be sitting on that. It's kind of hard to find somebody these days. I know a lot of these attorneys are overwhelmed because of evictions. Huh?
What you want to do, you just keep going until you find somebody. It's, you know, even if regardless what they say, you got to keep going, because, you know, a lot of times we give up rather than continue to fight. There's always going to be somebody.
Yeah, you're right about that, because with my case with my son, it burnt me out. And at the point, I was down and couldn't get up, you know, because
that was a loss of life. The run out of energy. They say we run fast, but we don't run long. That's what they say, you know. So we got to change that, because that's why they win.
But there's so many battles to fight, Reverend Pinckney. We only can do like one at a time, and when they all come at you at one time, it's really difficult. Then when everything coming all at you all at one time, you know, you help other folks, and then you got to help yourself. So yeah, you're right. I definitely would. Tomorrow, Monday, we'll start making these calls to civil rights attorneys.
Absolutely, absolutely, and tell them what happened.
Posted.
Yeah, absolutely, because it's their fault. It ain't, you know, it does not. It's not your daughter's fault. Why should she have to suffer because of a malfunction by then? And also, since they're not planning on helping, I would, you know, maybe even write them a letter that. That right now that, you know, that we're planning on suing the complex, and also send a letter to their headquarters and deal with them on that level, because whatever you do, don't allow them to get away. So even if it's your daughter, but who they might do the next black person by like that, because they know the average black person don't know. They don't know what to do. Yeah. They don't know.
They
fire.
Don't know what to do.
It's they don't no, it's a fire because they told them what was the problem, what caused the fire. They told them. Mm-hmm. Once they told them, I'm surprised they don't give them a citation.
I'm surprised too. They not really finished with the investigation, but like I said, the landlord wants to force her way in there.
No, she's trying to clean it up right now. She's trying to find
a way
to
clean up
in there. She's trying to clean it up. Damage control. Mm-hmm.
That's what she's trying to do.
Yeah.
You know,
so
she's
so
go down dirty.
What I heard so far, she is liable. Whether they want to be
it
or not.
Oh yeah.
You see.
We're definitely gonna get right on it. It's a lot going on. My daughter had to write extensively about the fire and all that night. And she's sitting on the curb. The fire department wanted her to write this stuff up. Exactly. But according to the management, they claimed they had some raccoon trap that was. And I said, what are they trying to say? That they were gnawing on the wires? I said, that's a bunch of crap.
Yeah.
Raccoon trap.
And that's for sure.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And there is no indication that there was anything other than that. It's just something that they failed to do. That's what it is.
Yeah,
the
they don't want to admit to it. But it's going to come out.
Yeah.
The truth is going to set us free.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Well, listen, we just ran out of time, but God
thank
is good.
You.
So that's right.
That's
He's good all the time. So we just have to do what we need to do. Make sure we're doing all the things to cover ourselves, and then we deal with these devils, and that's what they are. They're
nothing
but devils, you know.
Nothing but devils. And I want to thank you, Reverend Pinkney, for calling my daughter up because she was so disordered. She didn't even want nothing. They was gonna give her 1 or 2 days in the hotel, but she listened to you, and she calmed herself down because she was very, you know, in a frenzy.
Absolutely.
No, under the circumstances.
That's anytime.
Thank you so much,
that's
please.
Anytime. And you're welcome for that because you know we all, you know I want you to go look for a lawyer and you know even if one don't, you know go don't go to just one go to 4 or 5 of them and see who gonna do what make a list of everything that was in her apartment, her clothes, everything, her door clothes. All anything that was there, computers, make a list of everything.
Oh.
Right on.
All
right, listen.
Brand new couch. Take care.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
All right, talk to you soon.
Yeah.
Everybody,
okay.
Y'all have
Thank
a good
you.
Day. And next week,
too.
Same time, same station. Talk to you all soon.